Jeeves and the Wedding Bells by Sebastian Foakes. Read by Julian Rind Tutt. Author's note. This book is intended as a tribute from me, and on behalf of any others who don't think it falls too lamentably short of the mark, to P.G. Wodehouse. A thank you for all the pleasure his work has given. I have been reading him with joy and admiration for almost half a century. I am no expert or mastermind on things Wodehousian. I am just a fan. The great man's descendants hope, I know, that a new novel may help to bring the characters of Jeeves and Bertie to a younger readership. That lucky group of people who have yet to open The Mating Season or Right-ho, Jeeves. I hope so too, and I envy them the joys that lie in store. To the old hands, meanwhile, I would say only this, that yes, I did understand the size of what I had taken on, and yes, it was as hard as I expected. Wodehouse's prose is a glorious thing. And there's the rub. I didn't want to write too close an imitation of that distinctive music for fear of sounding flat or sharp. Nor did I want to drift into parody. What I therefore tried to do was give people who haven't read the Jeeves books a sense of what they sound like, while for those who know them well, I tried to provide a nostalgic variation, in which a memory of the real thing provides the tune, and these pages perhaps a line of harmony. I would like to thank Gillan Aitken, Peter Strauss, Jocasta Hamilton, Keith Carla, and Gail Rebuck for easing it all into print, and Edward Cazalet, P.G. Wodehouse's step-grandson, for his encouragement. I hope that readers of this story will be encouraged to go back to the peerless originals, and thence to a brighter world. Sebastian Foakes, November 2013. To the memory of P.G. Wodehouse, and for all those who have laughed at and treasured his books. Chapter 1. I was woken in the middle of the night by what sounded like a dozen metal dustbins being chucked down a flight of steps. After a moment of floundering in the darkness, I put my hand on the source of the infernal noise, the twin copper bells on top of a large alarm clock. There followed a brief no-holds-barred wrestling bout before I was able to shove the wretched thing beneath the mattress. It was a panting and lightly perspiring B. Worcester, who then consulted his wristwatch to find that it was, in fact, 6 o'clock, the appointed hour at which I was to throw off the bonds of slumber and rise to tackle my new duties. This was a dashed sight harder than it sounds. Easing the person to an even semi-recumbent position caused pains to shoot across the small of the back. Whoever had designed the palliasse on which I had lain these 7 hours had clearly been of the opinion that nature's sweet restorer, as I have heard Jeeves call it, can get the job done in 5-minute bursts. It required a steadying grip on the bedstead before I could cross the bare boards and don the dressing gown. It's possible that a sharp-eared observer might have heard a few groans as, sponge bag in hand, I headed down the passageway towards the servants' bathroom. Mercifully, I seemed to be the first to the ablutions. Hot water came from a geyser in a boiling trickle over the bath, but in the basin the H and C taps might more accurately have been labelled cold and frozen. It was a haggard Bertram who stared back from the glass as he plied the morning steel and sponged the outlying portions. I dried off with a strip of material less like a towel than a yard of well-used sandpaper. It's funny how quickly one gets used to certain things in life. At school, we had been compelled, on pain of 6 of the juiciest, to keep a keen eye on our kit and know at all times whether socks, grey, 6 pairs, and footer bags, navy blue, 2 pairs, were to be found. The services of Tucker, my accommodating scout at Oxford, however, and several years of Jeeves's care, had left me rather vague in such matters. To say it was something of a trial to dress myself in the uniform of a gentleman's personal gentleman would be an understatement. Eventually, after several attempts and some pretty fruity language, the shirt, collar stud and tie achieved some sort of coming together, after which the outer garments were a breeze. Pausing only to rub the shoe on the back of the trouser, I went
Sample complete. Ready to continue?